Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I'm just so grateful and thankful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to allow me to be in the midst of His grace, in the midst of His mercy, brand new every day, and to just be used by Him to lead us through the passages of His grace in His Word concerning our lesson this week. And we are concluding with the teaching track of Head Knowledge, No Heart Knowledge. And this has been such an exciting experience of God to come to the understanding of heart knowledge that supersedes head knowledge. And if you've been with me in this teaching track from the very beginning, we looked at a couple of points in the beginning of the lesson. And point one was God knows the heart. Point two was God shows the heart. And today we are concluding with point three. And we will focus on this point in particular: God flows from the heart. And I encourage you, if you haven't already, to go back and listen to the first two teaching tracks and familiarize yourself with the points and the rich nuggets that God wants you to receive from this teaching lesson. Head knowledge, no heart knowledge. Now, before we start, I would like to pray a prayer of blessing over or for those who may be listening, and most of all, those who are just hurting or struggling today. And they need peace from God. If you could partner with me and pray that we touch and agree, and we take our requests, our petitions to the throne of grace. And for those of you who are listening who need to hear from the Lord, who just need a prayer of peace, allow your ears to hear His small, still voice. Prepare your heart to receive what He has for you, and lift up holy hands to Him, ready to receive your blessing. So let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we exalt You, we glorify You. You are our King, You are our God. We thank You for what You've already done. Praise the Lord. It seems as we may have had a little bit of technical difficulties, but you know what? The devil is always trying to stir up confusion, discord, and he's always trying to stop the good work of Jesus Christ through the believers. And we know His promises. We are to press on in spite of what circumstance or persecutions. We are to press on until death. So this brings me to our lesson. And we're going to look at point three, God flows from the heart. And we're going to focus on the churches in the book of Revelation. So if you could get your Bible ready and prepare your heart, and let's look at the churches in the book of Revelation, which is found in chapter 2 and chapter 3. But I have a question. And the question is, Can God count on you to allow him to flow through you? This type of discipline requires an intimate and personal relationship with him. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and be in submission to his will brings great reward as a believer. God's will for the saints is to be personal with him, public for him, and prosperity by him. And we're going to look at Revelations 2 and 3. And this shows the condition of the seven churches' heart, which God rebuked and he praised. And we will look at this starting in chapter 2 of Revelation. Now, I'm going to give a thumbnail sketch of the seven churches as an intro to each one. And again, keep in mind, if you would make note of the point being God flows from the heart. And again, our lesson is head knowledge, no heart knowledge. And it is a personal message to you as well as myself, and we need to look at it as such. And we need to look at it as the body of Christ coming together, working together, breathing together, as the churches so chose to do when Jesus wrote the letters to them through the Apostle John. So, the three points for today will be personal, public, prosperity. So if you could make note of those under the heading God flows from the heart, point one, personal, point two, public, and point three, prosperity. And we will look at these three points within the seven churches. And of course, the main point is to show the heart condition particular churches. So let's look at the first point, being personal. Now keep in mind, in order for God to flow from the heart of a believer in Christ Jesus, there are some requirements. And the first requirement is you must be born again. And remember the conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus, who was one of the teachers, head teachers, in the church during the time of Jesus. And he came to Jesus in the night, and he asked Jesus a question. And he wanted to know, how can he or a man be born again? And Jesus gave him the answer. But as we know Jesus' teaching method or his teaching principle, he illustrates things. He is the best illustrator. And keep in mind, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, illustrating what we need to understand. So for God to flow from the heart of a believer in Christ Jesus, from the heart of the body of Christ, you must be born again. So we will take care of that right now. If you are not saved, you may not know you're saved or want to be saved or want to rededicate your life to the Lord. We're going to camp right here and take care of that now before we go any further, because it would not be right of me to assume that every listener to this broadcast is saved from eternal damnation. So if you would partner again with me and pray for those who want to come to know him in the pardoning of their sin, and pray for someone who may be in your family, who may be at your workplace, who may be right there with you. It may be your children. It may be your spouse. It might just be you. So if you would pray with me, and we will pray a prayer of salvation. Now, again, it's just my words. And yes, you can repeat after me, but it's your heart that should be prepared to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that he would become the throne, sit on the throne of your heart, that he would lead your life. So let's pray. Lord God, I am a sinner, and I believe that I cannot save myself, that I need you. I love you, Lord Jesus, and I want to give my life to you permanently. Lord, forgive me of my sin, for I believe you died on that cross for my sin. And you said if I would just confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, that you would enter in to my heart, sit on the throne room of my heart, and that you would live inside me. Lord, I accept you as my Savior. Please come into my heart. Change me from the inside out, for I want to be with you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you pray that simple prayer of salvation and you believe by faith, know that you are saved by his grace, that Jesus did die on that cross for you, that he paid it all. So if you would, make sure that you locate in your city a Bible-believing church and be baptized. Get into a Bible study class or a small group class that you could be discipled, that you would grow and go in grace. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. So now let's look at you must be born again. And the scriptures show us and tell us how that happens. We just demonstrated that through prayer. Very simple. You don't have to jump up and down. You don't have to clap three times. You don't have to do tumbling flips. You just fall on your knees. Open your heart. Lift up your hand and express to him, what must I do to be saved? Come into my heart. This is very easy to do, and it's so well worth it. Scriptures in Romans tell us how we must be born again. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the prosperity that we receive as born again Christians. but for him to flow from your heart, it must be personal and intimate. So let's look at some scripture that shows us concerning being born again. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17 reads this way, and I'll read this in the NIV translation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And that's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. The old heart is deceitful and wicked. But when you give your heart to Christ, it becomes brand new, tender, whole. And the heart receives the Holy Spirit. It receives the Word of God. It grows and develops to hear God's small, still voice. The heart. Let's look at 2 Peter. And we're going to look at chapter 3 in 2 Peter. And the verse I want to take note of is verse 9. 2 Peter 3:9. And it reads this way. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, this is God's will for us. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, and that means not wanting anyone to go to hell, but everyone to come to repentance. And we'll see this in the churches as we move through these churches in Revelation 2 and 3. But I just wanted to give and some scriptures that lead up to the heart condition of these particular churches. But for God to flow, you have to know that you know, that you know, that Christ lives inside of you and that the Holy Spirit has set up shop in your heart. He sits on the throne of your heart and he's molding you, shaping you, teaching you, growing you, and flowing through you. These are requirements for this to take place. And this is a promise that God does not want anybody to perish. He's patient, but he wants everyone to come to repentance. So this indicates personal intimacy with him. Let's look at our second point, because I could spend all day talking about an intimate and personal relationship with Christ Jesus, because the lesson for today in all points is a heart condition. And so many of the believers in Christ Jesus are so full of religion, and we've got to move from religion to relationship in Christ Jesus, which is intimacy with him. How do you become intimate with Christ? Through prayer and studying his word, so that your ear, the ear of your heart, will hear God's voice. Think of it this way. It's like someone who is running a race, and they're running the race that requires them to be so conditioned, so well prepared, that they do everything necessary in order for them to win. That is their goal. To win, to come in first place, or just get across the finish line, regardless of what place they come in. And those same types of practices is required for us as a believer in Christ Jesus. We've got to get out of religion and move or grow into relation. Now, as a in Christ Jesus, yes, we're saved, but we do not want to stunt our spiritual growth by staying stagnant, continuously being milk-fed, and not growing to become food-fed, feeding on the food of the Word, the manna, the richness of the Word of God. It's necessary, and so many believers want to stay on milk. They want to stay preemies, or they want to stay as a baby, and they don't want to move to growth because they latch on to the worldliness of the flesh or the old nature of the heart. So these churches will show us exactly where I'm talking about as a body of believers. Let's look at point two. We have to be public about our faith. Now, personal is intimate. Personal is through prayer. Personal is through studying, having intimate devotion with God, one-on-one time with him. Personal requires growth from one stage to the next stage. And public, for God to flow from the heart, he wants us to be public for him. Listen to what he says in his scripture. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God calls us to pray. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, in this one verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, there's quite a bit going on. First, God calls us his people. He said, if my people who are called by my name, Christians, believers, Christ followers, called by his name, humble themselves and pray and seek his face. How do I seek his face? Through prayer and studying the word of God. Surrounding yourself with other believers whose heart is intimate, who have a personal relationship with Christ, whose conversations are always concerning Christ-like behavior, exemplifying the work of Christ. No trash talk, no gossip, no backstabbing, no haughtiness, no self-indulgence, but a tender and contrite heart, and a lifestyle that would show public for him. So let's look at this in the churches. Let's see if they fall short or they hold fast to what Christ has called them or holds them accountable for. And before we go there, I want to look at one more passage, and that's Psalms 107, verse 12. And I want to read that in the New Living Translation. Psalms 107, and we're going to read, I'm going to read it in the New Living, but only verse 2. And it says, has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has saved you from your enemies. Public. That we can speak out because the Lord has redeemed us as his body of Christ. He's redeemed us on the cross. So we are to speak out publicly and tell others he has saved you from your enemies. How has he saved you from your enemies? Well, you know who your enemies are, and we know who, as a body of Christ, main enemy of the believers in Christ Jesus, and that is Satan himself. He does not want us to be personal and intimate with Christ. He does not want us to be public concerning him, and he certainly does not want us to have prosperity by him. Let's look at the churches concerning personal, public, and prosperity, or prosperous. But these were just a few scriptures that I wanted to share because we have to understand the way that God will flow from our heart through the Holy Spirit. We must be born again. You must be personal and intimate with Christ Jesus. You must study the word of God, and you must pray to him and glorify him, worship him. These are requirements that you will not spiritual growth, that you will grow to the point of being public and through the Holy Spirit that lives inside you, the fruit will show forth. And those particular fruit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, of course, this is found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is. And these type of fruit will show forth as a believer walking and discipling himself through the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to grow and show, and being submissive to the Holy Spirit, obedient to the Holy Spirit. Church 1. If you will, go to Revelation chapter 2. And I will read this through the in the NIV translation. So let's look at Revelation chapter 2. I want to look at the first few churches that is mentioned in Revelation 2. And I want to give a little thumbnail sketch of each one. So I was looking at my commentaries, as I always do when I prepare for my lessons, and just even doing independent Bible study and drawing into Christ. I like to look at several different commentaries. I like to look at several different translations so I can get a deeper meaning of God's Word. And listen to what it says through one commentary. Church at Ephesus left first love. Here is a church that is discerning about doctrine and faithful since its founding, but has left its first love. That sounds like a lot of us. We can be faithful about doctrine, but somehow we've left our first love. I like to look at it this way. We're holding on to God's hand like a little child holding on to their parent's hand. And we're faithful in holding his hand until something happens and the embrace of the hand gets weaker and weaker, and the hand slips away from God's hand. He has not left us, but we've slipped our hand out of his, and we've left our first love. Church at Smyrna, persecuted but pure. Smyrna is one of the only two churches which Jesus does not criticize adversely. The church is persecuted greatly, but shows by its works and spiritual riches that it has remained pure and loyal to its heavenly bridegroom. Now, don't forget this particular church. And what stands out is that the church is persecuted greatly and shows by its works and spiritual richness that it has remained pure and loyal to its heavenly bridegroom, and the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. We are the bride, the body of Christ, waiting anxiously for our bridegroom to receive us. Church at Pergamos, confessing yet compromising. This church is holding fast to the name of Christ and refusing to deny its Christian faith, even though martyrs have died because of opposition, yet, sadly, this church that is confessing Christ is also compromising with worldliness, idolatry, and sexual immorality. It has not taken a clear stand and is positively identified with those whose lifestyle and doctrine is contrary to the Christ they confess. We see a great deal of this in the body of Christ today. Sadly, this church that is confessing Christ is also compromising with worldliness, idolatry, and sexual immorality. Don't miss that. Church at Thyatira, serving but seduced. There is much to commend in the church of Thyatira in terms of love, works, service, faith, and your patience. In fact, the works are increasing, but this serving church is seduced because a wicked and immoral woman, calling herself a prophetess, is advocating sexual immorality and idolatry. Significantly, the longest letter to the churches is written to address and redress this staggering and alarming problem. A church or Christian, even though serving, can lose spiritual health through compromise with immorality and idolatry. This church is serving but is seduced, and we will see that. So let's look at the church of Ephesus and let's point out what they have done, left their first love. And it says in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds. He calls them out immediately. He does not beat around the bush, calls them out concerning their deeds right then and there. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Those are some good traits to have. Yet, he says in verse 4, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, but you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The Nicolaitans are a group of peoples that practice the doctrine of Balaam. They taught the Israel to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. This group of people, they were notorious for encouraging each other to eat things offered by idols. And their deeds were an abomination to Christ. And they practiced this. And verse 7 says, whoever hears or has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now that's prosperity. God talks to them, the church of Ephesus, concerning their personal relationship. Then he addresses what they've done publicly. He tells them, repent. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did first. If you do not repent, there are some consequences that he instructs to them. But he says, you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which Christ hates also. But the prosperity is, if you have an ear to hear with what I'm saying to the church of Ephesus, what the Spirit says to them, to the ones who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Eternal life. Christ is the tree of life. Let's look at the church, the second church, in verse 8. Smyrna. To the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has an ear, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. That's prosperity. That is prosperity. Let's look at this church. This is one of the churches mentioned that said persecuted but pure. Smyrna is one of the only two churches which Jesus does not criticize adversely. The church is persecuted greatly, but shows by its works, spiritual richness, that it has remained pure and loyal to its heavenly bridegroom. This should be you and me. The promise. The letter says he knows your afflictions. He knows who is coming against you. He knows who's talking about you behind your back. He knows who does not like you. He knows the hatred that you receive from someone. He knows how you may feel as though you're living in lack, but you are not. He knows how the mind can play tricks on you. He knows how rich you really are. He knows your devastation, your shortcomings, your circumstances. He knows. And he also says to this church of Smyrna, or in Smyrna, I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not. He knows about the fake people who call themselves Christians. They use the word or the term, or they use Christian as a cover-up for the truth that's really with inside them. He knows the heart of man. He knows them by their fruit, wicked fruit. During this time, they called themselves Jews and are not. They are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. And you will suffer persecution. Yes, we do. Jesus did. So will we. Be faithful, even to the point of death. Scripture tells us to live is Christ, but to die is gain. That's prosperity. Scripture also told us that the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown in the fiery furnace. They escaped. Christ, Jesus, there with them. They were faithful. We've heard the saying, no pain, no gain, or no cross, no crown. Endure, persevere, hold fast, hold tight to his promises that he will give you life as your victor's crown. No cross, no crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Great faith unto death, even to the point of death. Those who go over into foreign countries for the gospel of Jesus Christ, willing to spread the gospel to all the ends of the earth, and they lose their life because of Jesus Christ, the faith that they have in Jesus Christ, because of the name of Jesus. Hold fast, hold tight, persevere, press on, endure this race. Regardless of your circumstance, regardless of the shortness of the day, regardless of the way things are in this world, regardless of your wayward child, regardless of what you might be losing, regardless of what it looked like, what it looks like, it is hard. Yes, it is, but it's worth it. Because of the prosperity, eternal life, the promises of God. The church of Pergamum, this church was confessing yet compromising to the angel of the church in Pergamum, write, these are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. He's calling them out. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam. That was the type of teaching that the church of Ephesus hated by these Nicolaitans or Nicolaitans, teaching them to eat food that was sacrificed by idols, and teaching sexual immorality as a way of life. You taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it, prosperity. Prosperity. Eternal gifts. I will give some of the hidden manna. The church of Pergamum, they were rebuked. They had personal relationship, but somehow or another, they got swindled by the practices and the teachings of the Nicolaitans. To the church of Thyatira. Now remember, Thyatira, serving but seduced. So this is a weak group of believers. To the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds. He says this again. Your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. He's calling them out. Calling them out. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet.
By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed by idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. According to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except to hold on to what you have until I come. Jesus. And he says in verse 26, to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations, that one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Prosperity. I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Hear with your heart. Now, those are the churches in Revelation 2. The church of Ephesus, the church of Smyrna, the church of Pergamos, the church of Thyatira. One left their first love, Ephesus. Smyrna, persecuted but pure. They held fast, they persevered, they endured. Pergamos, confessing yet compromising. Compromising with worldliness, idolatry, sexual immorality. And then the church of Thyatira, serving but seduced by a Jezebel to commit sexual immorality. And Christ says, then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. This is a word to us today. He knows the heart. He shows the heart. God flows from the heart. And he flowed from the heart of the church of Smyrna. They held fast. They did not waver. They were faithful. Yes, they were persecuted. Yes, they were afflicted. But he said, be faithful even to the point of death. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And lastly, we're looking at Revelation 3 and the last three of the seven churches. The church of Sardis, the church of Philadelphia, and the church at Laodicea. Now, the church at Sardis, dead but disciples. despite its reputation for being alive, the Church of Sardis is dead. Yet even in this dead church, there are some disciples of Christ who have not been soiled in its filth. They will walk with the Lord in eternity. That's prosperity. That's prosperous. And yet the Church of Philadelphia, godly and guarded. Philadelphia is the second of the two churches out of the seven not to be censored by Jesus for any sin. Though in great weakness, the church has kept God's word and not denied his name in the face of great opposition. When the hour of trial comes, this church will be kept by Christ. It is godly and guarded. And lastly, the Church of Laodicea. They teeter-tottered. And I talked about this particular church in the second point on how God showed their heart. The Laodicean church is in some ways the saddest of all seven. This church thinks it's rich and it needs nothing. Rich and needs nothing. Its works are so lukewarm that Jesus will spit it out unless there is repentance. That's some of us. We flip-flop like a fish out of water. God sees us as teeter-tottering. We're not hot, we're not cold, we're just lukewarm. Repentance is available for us all who will hear his voice and open the door to him of our heart and let him in. But this church, it was so full of itself, it was so self-absorbed, it stayed in a lukewarm state, many of us today. So let's look at what the scripture says about the church in detail of Sardis. To the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. There he is again. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. So that means you're walking around full of head knowledge, but you don't have any relationship in Christ Jesus. You don't have any intimacy with him. You're dead, laying claim to being a Christian, having a reputation, but you're dead on the inside. Wake up, is what he's saying. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who are not soiled or who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, just a few, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever hears or whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Prosperity. I will never blot out the name of that person from the Lamb's Book of Life. But they will be acknowledged before God. But he says, repent now. So if you find yourself in the midst of one of these churches, repentance is the answer. Turn away from that particular wicked way, from that particular wicked mindset, from that particular wicked conversation, and repent in thought, word, and deed. The Church of Philadelphia, this one godly and guarded, the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words to him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, be but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command and endured patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitations of the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of the heaven from my God, and I will also write them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the scriptures says, what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Who would not want to be a part of this body of Christ who holds fast, who stays faithful, who acknowledges Jesus Christ, who shouts it out publicly, who does not deny Jesus as their Lord? He knows the deeds of those who have the key of David in their heart. David was a man after God's own heart. You see the condition of the heart of this particular church in Philadelphia. And lastly, the Church of Laodicea, which I've already outlined in point two, but this particular church, they saw all of their riches, but they did not need nothing, according to their self-absorbed, self-righteous haughtiness of heart. Everything was, I am rich, in verse 17, I don't need anything. We have everything, but unfortunately, they were naked, they were blind, and they were poor, wretched, and pitiful. But he does say to this church in verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke, meaning he corrects us because he loves us like a good father would do, and discipline. Yes, we do get spankings from time to time. So be earnest and repent. Here I am in verse 20. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's prosperity, eternal prosperity. I encourage you to reread these chapters in Revelation and pray before you read them so that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the heart conditions of these churches. These are believers in Christ Jesus, but some way or another, they fell short. They fell into idolatry. They fell into worldliness. They fell into sexual immorality. But to the 2 out of 7, they held fast to God's unchanging hand in spite of what it looks like, in spite of what people say about you, in spite of what the thoughts in your mind may tell you. You hold fast to God's unchanging hand. We are to hold fast to his promises, the word of God. And the churches that did this was the Church of Smyrna and the Church of Philadelphia. But that does not mean that all the other churches would go to hell. No, what it means is that as a body of Christ, as a body of believers, we've got to come out of religion and we've got to move toward relation so that we can withstand, so that we can endure the tests of time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to fall prey to the foolishness of the king of that day. They were willing to go to it at all costs, even being thrown into a fiery furnace. Daniel demonstrated that as well, being placed into the lion's den. Jesus went to the cross for the sin of the world. Are you willing to go at this at all costs? Are you willing to allow the love to flow through you onto those who are hard to love? But the kind of love that God wants us to exemplify to the unlovable, even in the body of Christ, it can be hard, but it's worth it. Can God count on you to allow him to flow through you? The challenge of this particular teaching track
is to love unconditionally. It's hard, but it's worth it. Always remember, it's hard, but it is worth it. Why is it worth it? Because of the personal relationship that you have with Christ Jesus, because of the public announcement that you make amongst men, and because of the prosperity that you gain in eternity to come. Hallelujah and amen. Well, I know we've went over time, but you know, this has been such a blessing to learn about these seven churches and show the heart condition of each one. And realistically, it is a condition of heart of you to see yourself in the midst of these churches, to know that God knows your heart, to know that God will show your heart, and to know that God will flow from your heart if you let him. I thank you for being a faithful listener of this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio, and I pray that you continue in your walk with Christ Jesus, that you would grow and go in grace, that you would move from drinking milk and move into eating meat of the Word, the richness of the Word, the prosperity of the Word of God, that you would share the Word of God with the weaker in the body of Christ, that they would become strong and grow in grace, that they would go in faith and tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He who has an ear, let them hear. Always remember that the flowers fade, the grass wither, but the Word of God, the richness of the Word of God, will remain forever and ever. God bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness, but always remember, He knows your deeds. Repent. God bless.